All right. Amen. What a blessing this morning. Thank you, Brother Ham. Students, and then that was the icing on the cake. Amen. Amen. We praise the Lord for it. Very good. Appreciate them being with us. Even if they are from New Jersey, we're glad to have them this morning. All right. I was up in that area, and it was a blessing to see a building full of God's people up there loving the Lord. And sometimes we forget we're not the only ones. Amen. All across this great country, God's people are here and there. Open your Bibles to the Old Testament. I'm going to use an Old Testament story that you're probably familiar with. I'm sure I've used before somewhere. And try to take the point and go through the rest of the message with it in the little time we have allotted this morning. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'll read two portions out of the chapter, try to tell you the story a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to take as a title for the sermon this morning, It's Coming to Pass. It's coming to pass. That's what the college graduates are hoping for tonight. That it's finally coming to pass. Amen. Some of them been hoping all year they would pass. Amen. Anyway, most of them will, I think. Anyway, the title here, Something Coming to Pass, It's Coming to Pass. You'll see what we're talking about. Look at it in 2 Kings chapter 7 and jump in on verse 1. Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Now, to get into the context, a messenger, the king himself, coming to visit Elijah in the last, Elisha here in the last few verses of chapter 6. Here's the problem. You have the Syrian king, Ben-Hadad, bringing his armies. He's encircled Samaria. He's starving out the city. And that's the way it used to be done and still even done some today. And it got to where even one woman was telling a story about eating a baby. I mean, it was really, really terrible. The city starving to death. And the king here, he wants to blame the preacher for it. He wants to blame the prophet, Elisha. So here he sends a messenger, and Elisha tells him, said, Now, when the messenger comes to the door, catch him and hold him, because the master is right behind him, and I want to talk to him. And so when they enter into Elisha's place, he makes a prophetic statement. He says, groceries are going to be cheap tomorrow. I mean, the economy is coming back. I mean, that seemed like the farthest thing possible could happen in this city that's being starved out. And so you notice in the text that we read here, it says in verse 2, Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned. I call them bureaucrats or bureaucrats, part of the staff. And the lord, a little guy, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God. Said, well, I'd take windows in heaven for such a thing to be, for the prices to fall like that tomorrow. And Elisha answered him back. And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Now, if you jump on into the story, there's four lepers sitting outside the city. They can't come in. The city is starving. They're on the outside. Nobody wants to get close to them. They're surrounded over here by the Syrians. And so the lepers have a little conversation with each other. They said, Look, we're going to die anyhow. Why don't we surrender to the Syrians? Maybe even if they put us in prison, they'll feed us. Now, I'm paraphrasing. But at least we'll live. And so they go into the city, into the army camp of the Syrians, outside the city of Samaria, and all of a sudden they find something's happened. They don't know it, but God has sent a great noise and made the army think that a bigger army is coming, maybe from Egypt or somewhere. And so all the Syrians leave their tents and everything, weapons, food, everything, and they run.
And these four lepers come in and everything is theirs. All the food they can eat, all the chocolate cake, everything they would love is right there. And they get to, you're thinking, we ought to go tell the folks inside the city of Samaria. They're starving over there. We ought to tell them just not enjoy this good fortune ourselves. So they go into the city, and of course, when they did, the king said, that it's a trick. It's a trick. But he sends some scouts, and they go in, and they begin to follow that Syrian army. They've thrown away everything, and it's all available. And so they're able, the city of Samaria is able to go in and have all the food they wanted, and the prices would come down, just like Elisha said. Now jump with me into verse 17 of the same chapter. And the king appointed the Lord, particular guy now, this bureaucrat, on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall it be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria? And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make wonders in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. He did see it, but he didn't get to taste it. Now, what do we have here? We had a prophecy made, and tomorrow it was fulfilled. I want to talk to you on the subject a little bit this morning and observe this truth a little bit in the Bible. And that is, I want you to think on three questions I want to ask. What was said? Has it come to pass? Will it yet come to pass? Now, I'm going to kind of stay on that road a little bit. This is a principle that the Lord Jesus used. I go all the way back to the book of John in the New Testament. And, of course, in chapter 14, the Lord is telling his disciples he's going away. And what's going to happen? And then he says in verse 29 of chapter 14, Jesus said, and now I have told you before it come to pass, before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Now, I want to say to you folks, that's still a principle you can find all the way through the Bible. When my brother and I were growing up, Grandma was in the home. She was like a second mother to us. Grandma was a little spitfire grandmother, sort of like the grandmother on the Beverly Hillbillies. In fact, almost same, looked almost the same and had the same fire and spirit, and nobody crossed her much. Grandma was probably maybe the only saved one in our family. She was the only one who read the Bible. The only Bible I ever saw was her old King James Bible with no cover on it. And she'd sit around and read that thing. And when Harvey and I'd get into trouble, we were doing some bad things occasionally, mostly him. But anyway, Grandma would prophesy against us. And brother, she'd pronounce the judgment of God, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And this, you say, did any of our prophecies ever come true? Yeah, every time Daddy come home. They come true pretty fast. And truth of the matter is, some can happen, be made today and happen tomorrow. Some can be a week later, some can be a month, some can be years, and some can be thousands of years. But if it's in the Word of God, it's going to come true. It's going to come to pass every time. Now, we can take, and I'll move away from the story here a little bit, but when I say what was said all the way through the book, what was said? Not just here, but what has been predicted in the Word of God. Over in Luke 17, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the days of Noah, and he also spoke of the days of Lot. He said, like it was in the days of Noah, he said, likewise in the days of Lot. Let me use that just a little bit. Lot's day. You can read about that story of Lot back in Genesis 18, 19, right back in there. And you remember what happened. The economy got bad, and Lot headed where it was better, where the grass was greener, down to the well-watered plains of the Jordan, remember? And he goes down there, but he goes down to a city of sin. He goes down to two cities of sin. He goes into Sodom and Gomorrah. And here's a man that the Bible says vexed. Peter said he vexed his own soul, his own spirit, with the evil that he moved into, but he stayed there like a lot of Baptists today because the economy was better there. Amen. I didn't expect much, but it's the truth. Somebody said, where are you going to move to? Well, is there a good church there? Well, I got a job. How about a church? I'm meddling. I got to get back here. But the truth of the matter is, that's what happened with Lot. He went where it looked like the economy was up. Stock market was up. So he went there. But he got in trouble down there in the place of sin, and God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know the story, don't you? Somebody said, it wasn't the sin of Sodom, and the Bible says it was. If you got a King James Bible, NIV won't say it, but the King James will. And down there was the place of awful sin. In fact, in Genesis 18, God said it was grievous sin. I mean, it's great sin. I mean bad. And the truth is, sodomy is a bad sin. I mean, it's against nature. In Leviticus 18, God told the Jews as he was moving them out of Egypt and bringing them against the heathen, he said, he told them not to partake in this this evil, unnatural thing we call homosexuality, sodomy. He said, because the nations that I'm going to drive out before you, that was their sin. A lot of it was they were guilty. And God brought judgment on nations. I don't know why we think he won't still do that. But he certainly did. You read it there in Genesis 19. And it's unnatural. Romans chapter 1, Paul said it's against nature. Against nature. I don't care what the liberals say. It doesn't run in the animal kingdom. It runs in the human kingdom, where they make a willful choice to go against what is natural. Romans 1 says they leave the natural use of the woman. And men with men. It's an awful thing. But here's a prediction. Judgment upon it. And judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sins. Now, there's other places I could go in the Bible. But let me just say this before I leave that. It had an effect on Lot's daughters, didn't it? You won't raise kids in an immoral situation without it affecting them. And all of a sudden, these daughters that go out there with the dad and the mothers look back and turn to a pillar of salt, and they're out there, and they learn something from somewhere, and they got the dad drunk and practiced incest and all the troubles that follow from that. You can read in the Bible. We Christians today act like we think we can raise our kids in Sodom and Gomorrah and it won't affect them. But it is affecting them. It's what they watch on TV is affecting them. What they talk about over the internet, what they do in all their communications with that, it does affect them, and it affects them wrong. And it'll show up. It'll show up. Other predictions in the Bible we could go through, and time would not allow us. I'm talking about what was said, what was predicted. Other predictions, wars, killing a religion that will kill you today. Are those things predicted in the Bible? Sure. I think we're seeing the Third World War being prepared for right now as we watch the news, don't you? Wars are predicted. And the killing religion, you don't have to do anything but read the paper today to see that that's going on. Killing in the name of Allah, of religion. Today, Revelation 16 tells us wars are coming. It tells us the river Euphrates is going to be dried up so the kings of the east can cross and come. Somebody says, what about China? Well, read your Bible. You'll know about it. Oh, yeah, I know it's not a lot of fun, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. Number system, that's where we're at today. That's predicted, isn't it? Revelation chapter 13. You either buy or sell. You can't. In other words, you can't carry on the business unless you got the number. Well, hey, we're already numbered. Everyone in this room's numbered, including me. But you know what? They just haven't yet stamped it on me. It's stamped somewhere else. But it'll soon, one day, it'll be on us. And brother, you talk about it controlling the economy. They're already doing that now, but that is predicted. Let me hurry on to say, that's what's been said, and I could give you a list, and you could too, so much in the Bible that is predicted. But let me ask you this, has it come to pass today? Well, how about when I was there on Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that around today? Who in the world, man? I've been preaching behind this pulpit 43 years, and when I first, Brother Dalton, got up here with the first sermon, I would have never dreamed that what I was preaching then would have come so fast and is now history. It's fulfilled. I mean, it's come to pass. The gay thing, so-called, they didn't call them gays back then. But the sodomy thing, who in the world can imagine? It blows my mind. But now, see, it's more than politically correct. You got to accept it. You got to promote it. You got to embrace it. You got to endorse it. I mean, that's the time that we've come to right now. We got courts, and you saw it this week. You saw it last week. You got federal judges overruling the vote of the people in our states. That's in Florida's on the list because we got the same amendment that marriage is only between a man and a woman. Now, you think the dumbest person in the world would know that. But now we got to put it in writing, and now the federal judges overturned it, one state at a time, overturned it. And if God judged the nations in Leviticus 18, he's going to judge again. You can count on it. But political correctness concerning this thing, I know I said it the other night, but it shocked me so much I want to repeat it. When the ball player got his call from that he'd been chosen, and his homosexual lover kissed him. Of course, it was all planned. The camera was ready. So his homosexual lover embraced him while he was getting the phone call, and then they kissed lip to lip, man to man. I was glad I wasn't eating supper. Make me sick. But with that said, the President of the United States of America made a phone call to congratulate the sodomite, the homosexual. That's a queer phone call if there ever was one, brother. But it come to pass. What was said, has it come to pass? Is it coming to pass? How about private first class or whatever he was, Manning, sold our secrets out to China? So they tried him, they gave him a jail sentence, but now he's demanded that we taxpayers pay for his sex change while he's in prison. I'm not making that up. You can't make this stuff up. Now think about it. While our vets are waiting in a long line and being lied to about getting an appointment to get in the hospital, we're going to take our tax money and pay for this squirt to get a sex change, and they're already calling him she. That's the news I'm talking about. What is the news? It's fulfilling the Bible. That's right. Yeah. It was no worse than Sodom and Gomorrah before the brimstone fell, brother. It was no worse, I guarantee you, than what we're talking about right now. And I look around, I say, well, it was predicted, and yes, it was said, now it's come. I think about Revelation 13 and the tracking system. By the way, that's why you need a number. You don't want to track you. You know, we found out that they're keeping up with us now. I've said this before, but I want you to get it. Do you know most of the time you're on camera now everywhere you look? My brother and I yesterday attended a seminar that we have to once a year for a business thing that was in before I was in the ministry. Keeping a license, I worked too hard for it to give it up. Amen. But you have to renew those classes. You know what I'm talking about. So yesterday they were giving us some of the latest technology. And the latest technology now is the camera thing. And you know that. I mean, not only there's cameras everywhere, but they can run one down your throat. I mean, there's cameras everywhere you're looking. And much of the time, you don't know you're on camera. Talk about candid camera. That's old days, but bless God, you're on it now. But they were showing us some cameras yesterday. And the guy told a story. He said, you know, he said these men went out to this wealthy man's house to service it and do what they were supposed to do, and they did. And so when they left, nobody was home. When they left, though, the company they worked for got a phone call from the man that owned the house, who was out of state.
But he said, I want to commend your workers. They went out to my house and they did this and they did this and they did it well and they did real good. And the boss said, how would you know that? He said, oh, I watched them the whole time. They were inside my house. That's where we're at, folks. That's the number system. Our forefathers couldn't imagine everybody in the world being given a number. But boy, they imagine it now, can't you? I mean, I'm saying it was said in the book. It is coming to pass everywhere you look. We're into the thought police thing now. Oh, yeah. Not just what you say, but they want to know what you're thinking. How many of you seen that dumb commercial on TV where the camel walks through the office and asks everybody what day it is? Yeah, I mean, you seen that? I didn't like it first time I saw it. Still don't like it. But they're not going to put it on anymore. Do you know why? They said it's racist. It's racist because who mostly uses camels? Arabs, Muslims. That's racism. But I'm glad they're getting rid of the camel. I had to ask somebody, I said, what are they talking about hump day, hump day? They said, well, I think that they say it's Wednesday is hump day. I said, well, I work for Boss Men, every day was hump day. You better put a hump in it, brother, and get going. But that's where we're at today, amen. Thought police, they want to know what you're thinking. Killing religion? Man, I would have never believed. I mean, I read in the Bible where Jesus said there'd come a time they'll kill you and think they've done God a service. That's what Jesus said. Well, we're there. Killing in the name of Allah, their God. I saw this week over in, where was it? In the Sudan, I believe it was. A pregnant mother was given 100 lashes with a strap and condemned to die because she married a Christian man many years ago. But they're charging her with blasphemy because she says, I was a Christian from a kid. Maybe some missionary reached her. She said, I've always been a Christian. They said, oh no, your dad is a Muslim. That makes you a Muslim. Now that's going on. Very likely she's going to be executed. Folks, that's not fairy tale stuff. But at the same time, our Secretary of State, John Kerry, been over in the Czech Republic and has promised them a great big grant of tax money from us to teach in the Czech schools the curriculum, the subject, why I love Islam. You and I didn't know we were doing that, did we? That's ridiculous. I mean, here's a nation with Christian documents from way back, and God's blessed us through World War I and II and Korea and all the rest of it, and we're going to import from America Islam instead of Christianity. You say, I didn't come to church for this. You getting it, you need it. Need it bad if you hadn't heard it before. Truth is, the Bible says it. It's coming to pass. Just like that Lord that the king leaned on, Elisha made a prophecy, said tomorrow this time. What he said happened, just like he said. What this book says is going to happen, just like it says. It is the very, very word of God. Now, all the stuff it predicts, and of course I can't take time for it. How about all the predictions on the wars? Yeah. Did you see this week? The Chinese are laughing at us. Did you see this week where the Chinese general on TV made the announcement, we're not afraid of you, America? I guess not. They'd foreclose on us and take our car. Amen? Take our tanks. I'm just joking a little bit, but not much. Not much. Part of that money that John Kerry gave over there to the Czech Republic, we probably borrowed that from China. You say, that's political. No, it's common sense. Something is rotten, brother. It's not in Denmark. It's in America. Yeah. It's in Washington. That's where it's at. Yeah. I want to give you the third point in a hurry, and that is, we know what's said. It's come to pass. Question is there some more yet to come? Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
There's some more yet to come to pass. I talk about the numbering system. We're seeing the numbering system. Yet to come is the penalty for the numbering system.
Did you ever think there'd be a time you'd be fined because you didn't have insurance? The penalty phase hadn't kicked in yet. You just wait. But you read in the book of Revelation, the penalty phase is getting your head cut off. Either accept the mark or get your head chopped off. That's on the Antichrist. And we're seeing all kind of shadows of that business going on right now.
It's rapidly coming. The wars are coming. Somebody said, North Korea, we could whip them in a minute.
Yeah, but Big Brother China. In the Korean War, Big Brother China was behind it. They're still behind it. Still are. 33 Christians were executed just recently in North Korea. And we were praying for the missionaries that they came in and took out a church the other day in China. Now, here's what I'm summing it up to say with you. We are clearly seeing what the Bible predicted coming to pass. I'm just giving you some quick examples of it. Now, if what it has said has come to pass, what else it has said is also going to come to pass. That's the whole thing I'm saying to you this morning. Now, here's what's happening. We are clearly seeing the difference between the good side and the bad side, between God's side and the devil's side, between who's choosing the wrong side and the right side. And the division is growing wider and wider in this country. And the truth of the matter is, I see no human answer to it. Somebody said, well, if we could bring up a good president back, maybe Reagan or somebody. No, he couldn't do nothing about it now. It's going to take God himself to come back. And Jesus Christ is God, and he is coming back. And he did say he would, and he will. It is yet to come, but he's coming. Amen. And he's coming soon. Amen. My grandma used to prophesy, as I said. And she had some that came through the next day. She had one that hadn't come yet. She kept telling me as a kid, Jesus is coming. I don't know, that may be why I preach on it so much. I didn't get saved till I was 22 years old, but I heard Grandma often say, Jesus is coming. And you know what? That prophecy is coming true. Because the Bible said it. Because Jesus said it.
And when he was talking over here in John 14, he was talking to those disciples, and he said, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, here's the purpose now, when it is come to pass, you might believe.
Now, if there's ever been a generation of people living that ought to believe, it's the folks listening to me this morning, in this building or with this radio station. You know what I'm saying to you? We've had more that we knew about, and now we've seen it happen. Why would we believe the rest of it's going to happen? The rest of it includes the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe he could come before I get through, but at the same time, I know of nothing that's got to be fulfilled but what he can come. But I am seeing the division between his people in this world like I've never seen it, widening out,
and very little common ground left anymore.
And the truth is, we got some stuff ahead yet, but nothing to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from coming today.
I clearly see that division. Now, Peter asked the question after he'd got on some of these things, told what was going to happen in the last days, and Peter asked the question,
2 Peter, I guess it is, what manner of persons ought you to be?
Seeing that these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Now, I'm adding a fourth question. What manner of a person are you right now? What manner of person are you? All right, are you saved? That's the first. Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus? Are you trusting him, not your membership, not your baptism, not your good deeds, but just him? Trusting that he paid for your sins. Trusting that he only can save you. Do you know that your name's written in heaven because Jesus paid it all for you? Do you know that? So what kind of person are you? Are you a saved person? Number two, if you're a saved person, are you living for him? But if you're here and you're not saved, is that the kind of person you are? You want to face God answering for your own sins, something you couldn't pay for, something you couldn't be good enough to undo? What manner of person? Peter asked that. What manner of person? Are we saved? I know I hear preachers say it, and I agree with them. I understand what they're saying. We do live in a gospel-hardened time. Jesus predicted that. He said in Luke 18, when I come back, and he answered his own question with the question. When I come back, he said, will I find faith on the earth? He was intimating that it would be dying out, that it would be growing weaker. And brother, we are there today like I've never seen it in my ministry. So the question is, gospel hardened? I'll tell you what's wrong, and most preachers know this. The culture out there has built such a wall, most people don't even get to the gospel. They're so insulated. They're so brainwashed. They're so full of everything else. And yet, if you've come in this building or you've been listening on this radio station and you've heard over and over again that Jesus loved you and died for you, you are without excuse, friend. You don't have any leg to stand on, any argument that you can make. So I ask you today, would you admit with me things the Bible has said, predicted, has come to pass? I think even the lost man on the street ought to say that. But at the same time, he said some other things, and they'll be fulfilled just like the rest of it, including the fact that he's going to return. Jesus said, I told you these things before, so when they come to pass, you might believe. He had a purpose. This is the only book of prophecy, no other religious book, just the Bible. Purpose, that you might believe, that you might believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? You know, people get in trouble over what they believe and don't believe. You know that? Men act upon what they believe. We act on it. We trust because of what we believe. Years ago, I was in a court situation and actually sitting on a jury, and a man had been killed in an accident, electrical accident. And the debate was over whose fault it was. And sadly, his family didn't win very big for one big reason. The man was told before he got in trouble that he would be in trouble if he did it. He was warned. But he didn't heed the warning. And he went on, though he was warned very strongly. He went on. And it cost him his life. You see, he didn't believe. He didn't believe. And he paid the price for it. You got a chance right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But there's a price to pay if you don't. I guarantee you there's a price to pay if you don't. Let me say to you, take God's warning. Jesus gave it that you might believe. He wants you to believe. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to trust him. He wants to save you. And he will save you. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I'm glad it said whosoever. That's how I got in one day, because I realized that whosoever was me, and that whosoever is you. And if you'll come receive Christ today, here's the good news. And this is a prophecy too. It'll be fulfilled in a moment. Whosoever will may come unto me. That's a promise he'll fulfill as soon as you come to him. You don't even